Hello and welcome to a brand new long overdue episode of It's About Bravo. My name is Reed.
And I'm Maddie.
It's Reed and Maddie on the mic this week. Thanks for your patience, guys. It's About Bravo took an unexpected vacation last week because we all have lives and our schedules were really in conflict more than the Real Housewives of Miami at the reunion this season.
No, it was hard for us to get together last week, but we made a point to be together today. And let's be honest, guys, it's not like last week was like the riveting episodes.
Oh my God, like watching paint dry. And we will talk a little bit about that as we get into just the state of Bravo today, as well as the shows we do plan to recap, like the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills and Miami reunions. But with no further ado, let's get into...
That's my opinion!
Okay, so a lot to talk about in my opinion today because we were out last week. I want to start with the most near and dear news to our hearts, and that is the loss of Miss Phaedra Parks.
This is not Parliament, so you could bring it down a notch and just get to the point, and we would really appreciate you.
On the Traitors last week, we were not here to say anything about that.
Yeah, that was sad. That was sad.
It was really sad. It was kind of expected. If you guys subscribe to our Patreon channel, we have been covering Traitors very regularly, along with Drag Race. And we just recently did an episode on the last four episodes of the Traitors, 7, 8, 9, and 10, before the finale. We're going to record a reaction to the finale and the reunion this weekend. So that'll be out on our Patreon channel by early next week. So I'll save most of the details, most of my opinions for that. But I just have to say, this was such a great season of television all around. I'm so happy with it. I might not be super, super, super thrilled with the ending, but I'm not like MJ level mad.
I don't know if anybody could be like MJ level mad. It didn't happen to us. This season overall was so good. It got so many people into the Traitors. It got so many people into reality TV. Like, I have a friend of a friend who started watching Traitors and fell in love with like Poverty or fell in love with Phaedra. And now she's like, I want to go back and watch Real Housewives of Atlanta. And my friend just started watching Real Housewives of Atlanta for the first time because of Traitors.
I feel like a lot of my oomphies on Twitter that are not Housewives gays sort of never really got it until Miss Phaedra Parks. And I think that I've seen a lot of people be like, oh, they're like old videos of her. Like, now check that to Kenya.
Yeah.
And everything are kind of coming out. And I think it does give people like a new opinion or perspective on Housewives. And like, it's not lame. Like, if you think it is, like, it's so like, look at what we get to enjoy.
Exactly. My mom's the same way. My mom has watched this entire season of The Traitors and was rooting for Phaedra and Kate Chastain. And my mom is not a Bravo girly. So it just like, it changes people's opinions on these characters and makes people realize, like, I'm not a huge challenge person. I watch The Challenge USA on CBS and I know the challenge players, but it makes me excited about people on the challenge. Like, it makes you into their world, which is just, it's really great. And I can't wait for season three.
Oh my God. I was going to say, like, I'm not as much of a game show reality fan. Like, you've kind of gotten me into Survivor and Big Brother, but like, I actually have not tuned into this new season of Survivor, and don't hate me, Maddie. I'm actually not sure if I will. I'm just sort of half in, half out with these kind of shows. Traitors really captivated me though. So maybe I am a gamer at heart.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I feel like on the other side of it, even this show has made me want to sort of check out some of those seasons with CT or with Parvati or with Sandra, because I feel like I'm missing out on something because they're so good. Like, I love these people now.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you can skip the new seasons of Survivor. I hate New Age Survivor. I just watch it because
That's all I've watched.
I'm a fan. If you can go back, like, let's not watch the season of Survivor, but instead one day when you're hungover, text me and I will send you one of Poverty's or Sandra's games and you can watch.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, maybe I need to microdose it.
Yeah. But
yeah, so we obviously are sad for our girl Phaedra, sad for our girl Sheree. But the reunion was so funny too because the Bravo girls like came to fight.
That's the best thing. I was watching with a few friends and we're like, it's so different because they know reunions. Like, none of these other people have reunions. Like, Survivor, after like the final tribal council and like the votes, they sometimes do a recap with like the jury members, but it's not a reunion. They don't have time to like digest what just happened. They're doing it right then and there.
The closest that any other network, I think, comes to like a Bravo reunion is like
Netflix.
They're trying, but even like I would say the last few Love is Blind reunions, like one of them was supposed to be live on Netflix and
that
crashed.
Was awful.
They just are flopping a little bit, but like they're still enjoyable. But Tan France is definitely no Andy Cohen.
Yeah.
But I think, where was I going with that?
Who else has levels?
I feel like, even though I don't watch the show, like Love and Hip Hop, like I see lots of clips, like Cardi B, like threw a shoe.
Yeah.
And then Drag Race, I feel like they get messy.
Yes.
And there's but even those reunions, like I think Bravo reunions are something on a different level. And these Bravo girlies came to perform that way.
Well, the Bravo girlies in John.
Yeah, John wants to be a housewife so bad.
He's taking Dorit's spot on next season of Beverly Hills.
To quote Miss Phaedra, unfortunately, this is not Parliament. And you could be, what did she say? And you could get it out a little quicker and we would all appreciate it.
Literally.
But like, what's so funny, by the way, I never really noticed how long-winded he was until Phaedra called it out. And then her and Kate were talking shit. And I was like, wait, it's probably so much worse than what we see.
It's probably like happened all the time during the castle, not just at the round table.
Right. He just loves to hear himself because he knows he's eating.
I know.
And I was watching with Mikey last night and Mikey's like, this Dumbledore ass bitch, shut up. Like at the reunion, just get it out a little quicker. Like
literally.
You were taking way too long. You're using way too many adjectives.
Yeah.
Okay. Just say it. Just get to the subject, the verb and the object. Like let's get back to basics. Third grade grammar. Okay. So anyways, Traitors, amazing. We love it. Season 3. Tell me 3 Bravo Labs you want to see on season 3.
Madison LaCroix.
Okay.
Craig Conover.
Okay.
Craig would be so good. He's so dumb and he would think he was right.
The Peter Powell.
He would know.
The Craig crew.
The Craig crew. And I think I want to see somebody from Jersey, like, that's kind of like off the cuff. Like Jen Fessler would be really funny.
The rumor is Teresa Giudice is filming House of Villains season 2.
Yes.
And Larsa. And Tiffany Pollard's coming back. So I'm gagging over that. And some like Big Brother and Survivor villains that I don't know. But anyways.
Who are your top 3?
Oh, my 3 Bravo Lubs for season 3 of The Traitors would have to be... I would love to see Adriana DeMora.
Yes. Play, oh my God. Yes.
This
that'd be so good.
Game. I would love to see Miss Portia Williams.
Yes.
Play this game. And I need to think of like a wild card. I guess like I've thought of a lot of people, but when I have to ask myself to whittle it down to 3.
Like, would you choose somebody from like a non Housewives show? I guess you don't know those people as much.
Oh, I thought like Tom Sandoval would be a good choice.
Yeah.
Because people would hate his ass.
Yeah, they'd want to get him out like right away.
They'd be like, he's a traitor.
Yeah.
Even if he's not here, he's a traitor back at home.
Like, yeah. He's a traitor in his everyday life, so let's get rid of him.
I'm just going to get bullied the whole time. Those would be my 3, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. So guys, if you definitely want to hear more of this, we will be talking in lengths about the finale and the reunion on the Patreon. So make sure you're subscribed so you can hear literally us talk about it for hours on end.
Yeah. Link in the description. Link in the bio. $3. Goes a long way. Yada, yada, yada. I want to cover Love is Blind season 6 with Annie on there, I think. We've talked about it. Anyways. there's so much more, and that's my opinion, because we were gone last week. So let's do like a speed run. So Portia Williams divorcing.
Crazy.
And the cameras aren't rolling. Like, they need to be getting this on camera if we're going to have Miss Portia at the center.
Can we just talk about how her announcement to Housewives...
Mrs. Gubadia?
Yeah. Portia Williams coming back to Real Housewives of Atlanta.
That's false.
That's false. But Portia Gubadia, and it's like, girl.
But Portia Gubadia is not... She in the... It's literally Abby Lee Miller reversing... In her wheelchair. Like, you gotta go, you gotta back out, come back in with a new name.
Yeah, it's not gonna go over well.
So there's that. Kim Zolciak was teasing news coming soon, and she put a peach in the caption, and so people thought, is Kim Z gonna be back on Real Housewives of Atlanta? And then there were rumors and murmurings that it's actually
a show with her and her family.
Yeah, like maybe it's her own thing. So,
but she said coming out tonight, like whatever.
And it never came out.
Nothing came out, baby. Baby, there's no news.
You know what did come out? pivoting to Beverly Hills, Bet It All on Blonde. The Erica I haven't watched it yet, but I heard it's really good.
I haven't watched it either. It came on, obviously, after watching on Wednesday, and I'm like, I'm too tired for this. And I forgot about it until you just said it.
Everyone's,
so.
Yeah, we should add that
Peacock?
To the list. It's on Hulu. No. I think it's, maybe, it would be on Peacock. I think Hulu is The Housewife and The Hustler.
Okay, we should watch it maybe tonight.
Okay, period. I'd be interested in that. What else? So that's all the Atlanta stuff. We see Salt Lake City. Like, they were partying at the most tropical of cast trip destinations, Detroit, Michigan.
Were they in Detroit? I thought they were in Wisconsin.
I have no idea. They were somewhere
they were
in the
Wisconsin.
Midwest. Okay,
where
were they?
Milwaukee. Which Milwaukee is a fun city. Like,
Milwaukee, Detroit.
No, Milwaukee is way better than Detroit. Sorry to the Detroit listeners.
Okay, I have... Actually, I don't think I've been to Detroit, but I have been to Milwaukee. I've passed through.
Lock your doors in Detroit. Lock
okay.
your doors.
Okay. Well, there's that. And it was like all nine ladies. So I don't know if some are like in a friend of role, but it seems like we're going to have a fucking packed cast for season 5 of Salt Lake. And honestly, as a Monicanator, as a Monicunt, I am okay with it. I'm okay with these new ladies. I'm open-minded to seeing
because
what they
bring. Look what we got with Monica. Like, these ladies could be another Monica in the making.
Well, and there's, with that many new people, I just feel like there's going to be so many opportunities for new dynamics. I mean, even when you're looking at the photo of them sitting courtside, I was looking at who's sitting by who.
Yeah.
And who is really far away from each other. And it's like, you can't talk to nine women at courtside. It was like bubbles. And I was seeing Mary in the middle, not looking at anybody. And it's just very, very intriguing. So I think and I was counting the Miami reunion. There's nine of those ladies. Nine of those ladies. And look at how much fun we're having. So I think Miami and Salt Lake are like, fire and ice, like they're like spiritual twins. Like, they're helping lead the housewife,
the new wave.
It's them. It's Bravo. Them. And I love it. So
also, we had the New Jersey trailer drop this week.
We should play a clip.
What's going on with you and me? Just out of curiosity. Oh,
that is nobody I want to be friends with. I'm not looking her away again.
You're a bully, Teresa.
Don't poke the bear.
This is a big waste of my time. I'm walking away from you.
I see your true colors. I just f***ing out at you.
You're dirty. Everybody was right about you. You're a piece of shit.
All right, Danielle. We see you.
You want to know why?
Anyway, listen. That was a great evening. Not so much.
So... That was a trailer.
Not a lot going on.
Not a lot going on, which... So going, obviously, if you have listened to this pod for even two episodes, you know that I'm the biggest Jersey stan. It's my favorite franchise. Even though it's fell off in the past couple years, like, it still is one of my favorites. I was so disappointed by this trailer. One, because all leading up to it, everyone's like, it's all going to be about Trey and Melissa this season. Trey and Melissa don't want to film together. That's the whole thing. And I'm like, oh God, I don't want to see this. So the trailer started off and it's really nothing about Teresa and Melissa. And I'm like, wow, it's going to be a good season. And then I'm like, after the trailer ended, I'm like, okay, so there's no showings of Teresa and Melissa and there's no showings of anything else. It looks like a lot of like little fights here and there and then the men getting drunk.
Someone pointed out that they show 4 different clips of the same dinner.
Really?
Throughout the trailer to kind of add filler to the trailer and kind of make it seem like there were 4 different dinners when it's all the same dinner.
And probably all the same fight.
Yeah, just different perspectives or whatever. And I was like,
okay, I'm so sad.
We got a bad review on It's About Bravo because I talked shit about Jersey last season and admitted that I don't watch Jersey. So if someone was mad at me, so I want to be very careful with what I say about Jersey, okay? I've watched seasons 1 through 3. I promise I'm going to watch the rest. I did watch last season. I did disparage it a lot on the podcast. I didn't find it very interesting. I liked the new girls though, and I thought
loved the new girls.
And watching this trailer, I was kind of like, I feel like this looks like last season. Like, I don't see any that almost looks like the dinner last season where Jennifer Aiden and Danielle were fighting. Like, it's like the same kind of like
dynamics, but it does look like it's changing a little bit. Like, everyone's kind of against Marge. So that'll be interesting because I love Marge. I'm hoping that it's just a bad. I'm hoping it's just a bad Sutton. Trailer.
Come on, Sutton.
I'm hoping it's just a bad trailer. Like, honestly, OC, this past season, the trailer was not good.
And it was really fun
and
to watch. And even like the, honestly, even the Salt Lake City trailer, I was such a Salt Lake hater.
Yeah.
That it wasn't until like that first episode at the Trixie Motel where I was like, wait, this is so good. Like, we're in for a treat.
Yeah. So
bon appetit.
Trailer was bad, but all that's to say, I'm still excited. I still will be sat the second it airs. I will be watching live. I will be tweeting.
I won't be doing that. I'll do commercial free on Peacock.
Well, what are you doing on Tuesday nights? Is it Tuesday or Wednesday?
I'll be spending that time much more efficiently than sitting through commercials for a very, what I think might be mid.
God, the
show.
Reviews, the reviews are coming. Oh, yeah. The reviews are coming.
Oh, God bless me. Sorry, y'all. I forgot. I just speak my mind on this mic. Okay. You know what I won't be sat for the minute it airs? You know what I'm not seated for is another trailer that came out. The Real Housewives of Dubai.
Here's to new beginnings.
Salam alaikum.
In Dubai.
All you girls, you're all queens to me.
They reign supreme.
Don't steal my best friend.
Follow me or you're against me.
You disrespected my friend.
Oh, you are a hypocrite, Sarah.
Oh, that's Valentino.
The way I had no idea where you were segueing this, I'm like, what other trailer came out? I was like, well, Summer House is out. Like, I'm like going through my head. I fucking forgot.
Yeah, I think we all did.
I don't think I watched it.
There was nothing to watch.
I kind of watched it.
There's a new girl.
Yes.
But you barely see her in the trailer, but I'm interested in knowing more. I mean, listen, like, I'm going to watch Housewives always. Yeah. So it's like, same with Jersey. But depending on when I watch it, someone said the ratings count though, like 7 days.
Yeah.
So I guess I am
there's
helping.
There's a look back.
I'm actually helping those ratings because I usually watch the day after. My OCD kind of keeps me on a tight schedule with my TV watching. If I fall behind, I'm behind on my deadline. All right. what else on That's My Opinion do we need?
So Lala announced her pregnancy.
She's Prego.
Yeah.
And that's probably from
a sperm donor.
A sperm donor, because that's what she's doing, exploring on this season.
Yeah.
So can we just talk about this season of Vanderpump Rules? Because
it does not need a full recap like it usually
It did. Doesn't. And guys, that makes us sad because we just did this to Potomac as well. And I feel like
we are just throwing shit out the window.
I think what we're doing on the It's About Bravo family is we're looking inward and we're saying, okay, What do we enjoy watching right now on Bravo? What do we enjoy covering? And what would someone that's listening to It's About Bravo want to hear about? And so, honestly, guys, if you do want recaps on those and you like are annoyed that we're not doing it, please tell us, because we love when people like give us feedback.
Yeah, and maybe tell us like an Instagram DMs, not on a review.
Yeah, on a review. On the review, you should just do 5 stars.
Only 5 stars.
And keep it moving.
5 stars and that's it. And you can like talk to us in our DMs.
Yeah,
please.
If you want to criticize anybody.
If you want to be mean about me and saying like, just put in the DMs, please. I'll read it.
I think I say like more than you do, honestly.
No, I think you do.
I really do. But you're a woman and people hate women.
On International Women's Day.
On International Women's Day, when we're recording this, of all days. Guys, if you love Maddie and you love women, please give our podcast
5 stars.
5 stars. And we would be forever grateful. And then if you do have anything that you want to tell us, like, please DM us, because we do read our DMs and we love feedback. And so if you do want to hear recaps of shows, I do think, I will say, there's this Bravo drought coming up that we're all kind of, I think all Bravo content creators are like, ooh.
Yeah, what are we going to do?
It's bad. Because what were they thinking? I think production schedules were just off since COVID, someone said, but we don't have any Housewives until May 5th for Jersey and then June 2nd for Dubai.
Oh.
So we're missing out on, we have, I don't watch Summer House, but apparently it's really good.
Summer House is so good.
So and you got that.
Yeah. If you guys are interested in hearing Summer House, we will be reposting it on our Patreon. We have the first 3 episodes, a recap coming out this following week. So pay attention for that. Because Summer House is eating.
Yeah, and if people want to hear it, like tell, yeah.
Let us know.
Maddie can lead the charge on that. Obviously, we were really, really excited to cover Vanderpump this season, especially after Scandoval last season. And Scandoval was such a huge part of It's About Bravo last year. But I think we're just all kind of like, what is going on these episodes that's worth covering? So episodes 5 and 6, which we have not covered on this podcast, I think I can summarize like very, very quickly. I mean, they're on a cast trip.
to yes. the Wolf Lodge.
Well, everyone's on a cast trip except for Katie and Ariana.
Yeah, and I'm just over this whole thing. And then Sheena is still making it about her. She's like, she knew I wanted to be on Dancing with the Stars, and I still was happy for her.
That, I'm sorry, like, I hate, love hates Sheena, because when she was like, it's never, ever about me. I'm like, Sheena, it the whole reason the spinoff started was actually because of you.
Someone tweeted that. They showed the screenshot of her sitting down with Brandy, and they were like, baby, when has it not been about you? Like, from day one. So that's happening. And then Tom Sandoval is still refusing to take accountability, but he's kind of convinced them that he has taken accountability, and now they're all kind of like hugging him.
It's kind of crazy. One thing that I did want to point out that shocked me was Sandoval gave Sheena money in the pandemic. She mentioned that he gave her, like, she woke up one morning with, like, a Zelle or a PayPal or something with, like, thousands of dollars.
Yeah, that's really sweet. Honestly, I wonder if that's, like, common with them because they, like, have money.
Did they, though, have before?
No, I don't know. But I just, like, do you think that that's the only time he's given someone money? Or do you think that, like, they've helped each other out at times when they needed it? Even picked up the tab on, like, a, you know, an expensive bottle service VIP that might be a couple thousand, like, right? Yeah. Like, I feel like they probably do things for each other like that.
Well, she made it seem like it was
dirt poor.
No, but she made it seem like it was like the only thing that got her off her feet.
Well, okay, but Sheena is exaggerates. I mean, listen, maybe it was, but also maybe it wasn't, and she just like is saying it was because she's dramatic. Like,
yeah,
that. I don't
she
know.
Did have a funny line in that same. She's talking about like how crazy that was that he gave her money, and she's like, "I don't want to be best friends with him again. Like, I don't want to like say come over and like paint your toenails white." And when she said that, I giggled. I'm like, "That's funny because his fingernails are always painted
oh
white."
Oh my god, she just misses her girlfriend. That's all it is.
She literally misses her girlfriend.
So I think we'll probably like periodically like talk about it if anything interesting does happen because we're still watching.
The only interesting thing that even happened was the Lala and Tom Sandoval fight, and it was hard to watch because Tom Sandoval is such a narcissist, and I love Lala, but when she gets angry, she just kind of yells, and it's.
Yeah, it's not
hard
fun to...
Because I'm like, Lala, you're right. You're the better person in this situation, and it's hard for us to relate to you when you're, like, flying off the handle screaming.
Yeah, I don't know. It's nothing... I will say I really enjoyed Brock in a Speedo. He looks so good. And Sheena, you were on point for that one. You were on point.
She did make some...
She made some
points.
she made some good points. Yeah, if anything interesting happens, Potomac's hope to God almost over, and we'll probably check in on that at some point as well. Just overall how that season's going. I like the new girl, Kiarna. Like they kind of snuck her in
the
in
new
the last
girl that came like episode 16.
They kind of snuck her in the back half and we're like, maybe you'll see her again. I doubt it. This season doesn't seem to be
I'm very curious
bearing
to what,
any callbacks.
What their reunion will be because
please don't be three parts.
And I felt that I doubt it will be.
Oh,
and I kind of feel this way about Jersey too. Like where if somebody said, "What happened last season on Potomac?" I don't know. What happened last season on Jersey? I don't know. And now this season, what's happening this season on Potomac? I don't know.
Literally.
And I'm watching it, and I'm because it's the same fights over and over again. It's the whole Robin versus Candace, Giselle. Karen, Wendy, NECA, and I'm just, it's not enjoyable to watch. So that's why we're not recapping it because this is what it would sound like.
It would
us
literally,
complaining
yeah,
the entire
just complaining
time.
And that's not fun, right? So I think we've covered all the bases, all the things that really were worth mentioning. Oh, we didn't really talk about Andy, but I feel like he's going to be fine.
Oh, Andy being a cokehead.
Were people doing coke in your bathroom?
Oh, come on.
Like
a cokehead.
Newsflash. Okay, who among us? Okay, like I feel like
if he's not doing coke with housewives, fire him.
Okay, bomb them. okay, but in all seriousness, I think Leah McSweeney is full of shit. So many housewives have come out to his defense.
So many. And I think if anything, let's say he did do coke with the housewives. I don't think it was one of those things where he's like, you're going to snort a line and snort a line right now. Or you're going to not get your check.
They fucking played a clip of Leah on Ultimate Girls Trip 3 being like, can you guys drink or something? This is boring.
Just came into play.
Why don't you guys like
like order shots. Can you guys like get drunk or something?
How's that any different than what you're claiming the producers do?
Or what
you.
Andy does to housewives.
Please, no one is forcing a drink down your throat, Leah.
Yeah.
For someone who was on Bravo for all of 2 years, this bitch has a lot to say.
And it's kind of crazy that she joined the franchise that was literally known as being drunk buffoons. Like, we loved New York because they were a sloppy, crazy mess. Like, they all were rich, high society in New York, but they'd go on these cast trips and Luann's falling into a bush. Ramona's slurring her words and doing turtle time. Like, Sonia's naked. Like, that's why we fell in love with New York. So the fact that you could join a cast like that and think you're going to be going on a sober journey.
Like, you came into their culture.
Yes.
Okay.
It's not like she started it from the ground up. She's not on Salt Lake City.
And I don't know. I feel like my relationship with Leah has been love-hate since I met her on mm-hmm. Bravo. I know Mo is obsessed with her.
I know.
But I think even Mo would probably say right now, like, this is stupid. Like, Leah, you're lame for that. And I also think Bethany's lame. And I honestly think Brandy's being fucking lame doing what she's doing.
Yeah, let's talk about that even, too. Because Brandy now is going after producers, right?
Yeah, and it's just like, I get it. You're upset over Caroline and I think we were all Team Brandy. Like, no one was Team Caroline except for Alex McCord. So
I do love Caroline.
I get that Brandy's frustrated because she's getting punished for it by Bravo. But, like, I don't know. It's just, it feels like eerily inconvenient timing because you're, like, not getting what you want.
Yeah, exactly. So she's going to make up certain claims and say she felt uncomfortable and Andy made certain stuff in front of her. And that's just not how you're going to get back in Bravo's good graces.
It's just like, it's never going to happen.
And are we ever going to get?
It's over.
We're never going to get it.
But I do think.
Is that something you want? Because you're never going to get it.
Does that sound like something you want?
Yes.
Well, let me tell you, you'll never get it.
I don't know, because I feel like, as a Kim Petras stan, and her debut album, one of her many debut albums, Problematique, was sort of leaked, and also the label pulled it, and she was heartbroken, and she wasn't going to ever be able to release it, and then she gave us that god-awful Feed the Beast album that I still fucking listen to every day, and because it is low-key good. But no one thought Problematique was ever going to hit store shelves. And then that last fall, she was like, surprise, bitch, they're letting me release it. And she released it, and it was the coolest thing ever because I had fully given up hope. And so I honestly think that in the year 2035,
we're going to get,
there's going to be some gay IT person at Bravo.
There's going to be a leak.
The Edward Snowden of Bravo. And he's going to be like, I'm blowing the whistle. And he's going to fucking drop Ultimate Girls Trip season 4/5 Morocco. He's going to drop it on one of those pirate sites. And we're all going to tune in. And we're all going to get computer viruses.
If we even have computers in that age.
That age, it's literally 11 years away. Okay.
I know it's when I have to get my next tetanus shot.
Okay. Jesus. Okay. So with that, let's get into a recap of parts 1, 2, and 3 of The Real Housewives of Miami Reunion.
Such a fight going on down the hall.
So if I wanted to, I'd lie.
Don't call me a liar.
I didn't call you a liar. You
said I lied. Alexia, I'm a way better friend to you than you are to me. What kind of friend are you?
Okay, good. Well, then I'm out. I don't need to apologize for who I am. Who are you people?
It's going
to
be a long night.
Welcome to The Real Housewives of Miami season 6 reunion.
Andy.
Yes, Frida.
Now what?
I'd like to recite a poem to Alexia.
Oh, I don't want to be on the same show with this person. It's so embarrassing.
I still don't believe that Larsa's butt is real.
I mean, I don't understand your relationship.
You like black men, penises.
Look at all the signs, Nicole. You did have something to do with it.
The boner that you have for me
boner.
Is like, you need to go to the bathroom, smack one out, girlfriend.
a video indicated he doesn't support your relationship.
Don't hate on our love.
We don't talk about other people's dads.
It's all I want to talk about 24/7.
You look down on people like me.
No, I feel like they're YouTube in this group. Like I don't f***ing belong here.
I'm going through the worst part of my life. It was hard already, and you made it harder.
I did not make it harder for you, my love.
Go ahead, hover back and tell her she's wrong.
I'm fighting the battle of my life.
Yes, wait,
don't diminish what I was fighting about. I was fighting about my death.
You soul that used to play a victim that you like don't realize how you've been a villain.
Who are the liars in the group?
Larsa lies.
Liar.
The hubris.
Would you shut the f- up.
The biggest liar is calling us liars.
I'm making a run for it.
You owe us an apology, Alexia.
You want me to apologize to you? I put forward.
Get out! Hurry up and pee!
We have not covered any bit of the Real Housewives of Miami Season 6 reunion because they aired Part 1 last Wednesday after Beverly Hills reunion. And then they aired Part 2 the very next night, right before Traitors.
Well, let's talk about that. And that's the real reason why we didn't have an episode out last week, because
we were going to wait to record after it aired.
Yeah. And we originally were planning to record on Thursday, like we usually do. And before the boys sat down to record, I was like, guys, part two of the reunion is
it's literally on right now. Yeah. So, yeah,
it really messed everyone up. And I think not only we are Bravo fanatics, we are.
And we didn't know.
And we were confused by it.
Or I barely saw it.
I knew the schedule was different for the reunions. I just thought it started the following week. I didn't think it started the actual next day.
Yeah, it was weird. And I feel like Bravo just continues to do Miami dirty.
They do them dirty because...
Poor girls.
This reunion was levels above Beverly
Hills.
They're
carrying Bravo when it comes to Housewives right now. Everyone should be watching The Real Housewives of Miami. So let's dive into... Part one, because there's a lot that went down in this reunion. We kind of get into Gertie versus Larsa versus Larsa versus Alexia.
Yes.
Alexia and Marisol versus Adriana. Like, it's kind of like a ping pong with these ladies.
It really is.
Two of them start going at it, and then one of them pivots to the next op. And
yes.
It just kind of goes down the line. I think even... Nicole kind of got a little bit of it in part one over Ana Quincosas. Unless I'm mixing that up with part two. But yeah, it all kind of blends together. We might actually talk about things that aren't in part.
Just talk about it all in like a flow because
yeah.
That's technically how we watched it.
So Larsa doubles down on being a narcissist. She's not backing down on anything with Gertie. And
no.
Gertie's sitting there with no hair and a scar on her breast. And Larsa is just being Larsa.
Can I say something totally off topic, totally not related to the Real Housewives of Miami, but related to cancer?
Okay.
It's not going to be dark.
Okay. And I was like, please don't.
So Gertie shaved off her hair before she went into everything. And then she only treated cancer, I think, for like 12 days right before she was cancer free. And if you know, Reed knows this. Leanne Hainsby from Peloton was diagnosed with breast cancer this past year and went almost 7 months on Peloton and nobody had any idea she had cancer because she just kept coaching her classes and going to radiation and chemo on the side, and she never lost her hair. She lost her eyebrows, so she got her eyebrows microbladed. She started getting lash extensions because she lost her lashes. But her hair just started falling out a little bit. She didn't totally lose it. So I really don't think Gertie had to shave her head.
No, I think she did. I think she did, because I think what she was doing was taking that control.
Yes.
The power back, because...
I do think she was taking her power back. I just don't think the cancer was taking the power at all, like for the hair.
Well, I think it would be embarrassing to walk around with like splotches missing.
Yeah.
And so I think for her, part of like tackling... She was so afraid. And I think part of like tackling her fear was shaving her head, like... losing her hair on her terms.
Yes.
And doing it on her timing and doing it her way, which honestly fucking looked amazing. She was fucking fierce.
Oh no, she is rocking the hair so well. And like
Especially well, the lack in- thereof, but yeah. She's rocking it down.
But like, especially in her entire reunion look, like she just looks so regal. She looks so good. She has such a pretty face that she can be without hair.
Guys, if you listen to this podcast, Gertie annoys the hell out of me. I'm always talking shit on Gertie. I loved Gertie this season, and it wasn't just because she was going through something serious that made me like feel like I had to like her. I actually genuinely did warm up to Gertie this season, even when she is like, oh yeah, well, I did this today, and like, like that's Gertie, that's her, the theatrics, the dramatics, everything about it, coupled with the realness, the rawness, all the mm-hmm. things that we got from that, her husband being like, it looks good, like don't worry, you look great, like that was so, I cried, I know that's the finale, but like just so special.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think in this reunion Larsa just, it has shown no growth, which is I guess what we love about Larsa. I don't know.
It's kind of hard watching Larsa. Obviously, me and you, we don't defend her, but we love her for TV.
Good for TV.
She's
for
sure. So good for TV, but she's so hard to watch. She's like doubling down on the cancer thing was just hard. She was like, how were they supposed to know?
And her and Alexia, they got into it.
Well, because, and it started with something as small as Alexia saying, well, I'm the only one here that tells the truth. And she got so mad about that little comment that it would not.
Oh my God. I mean, do you see how she was in Traitors? She's like, when yes. Janelle was like, that was weird to me. And she's like, weird. You're weird. I think how selfish you are is weird. Like she always hits back like tenfold. Yes. And so I'm sure a tiny little comment. Andy pressed Larsa on Michael Jordan.
Yes.
That was kind of.
And she claimed that Michael Jordan watched some of the show.
I don't think he probably did that.
I don't think Michael Jordan's watching Real Housewives of Miami.
Larsa also called Kiki a bad friend. How dare her? Like this girl.
No, this girl.
Sit this girl down.
She will stop at nothing.
She will stop at absolutely nothing. Marcus, like, cheering her on from the back. Don't hate on our love.
Marcus is so delusional, cheering her on in the back. You want to know who else was also, like, delusional, but I love? Adriana reading a poem again.
Okay, so I was going to say that something that all the reunions this week and even beyond this week have in common is that there's one person on that as soon as they start, everyone's like, oh, Jesus
Christ. Oh no.
So on Miami, it's Adriana when she pulled out the poem, when she pulled out the Bible.
The hubris.
When she pulled out the Bible and everyone was like, oh, Jesus Christ. Like you see Alex go, oh my God. Like and Marisol's like, I'm so embarrassed to be on a show with this person. And then on Traitors, it's John. Every time John talked, everyone's like, Jesus Christ, we got to wait here for 5 minutes while he gets out his little, does his little thing. And then on
Beverly Hills, it's Dorit.
Yeah, very true. Oh my God, you're so right. Because I was going to actually say Anne Marie because the little she did talk, everyone was like, be quiet.
Yeah.
but you're right, it's Dorit.
Everyone's like, Andy.
Oh my God.
Andy will literally ask Dorit a question and then like roll his eyes.
Way he starts yawning every time she talks to him, we are getting ahead of ourselves.
We are.
So funny. Okay, so Adriana with her props, but that's what I love about Adriana. I love how she's just totally camp. Like, if we want to talk about some of these girls getting full-time contracts next season, Kiki and Adriana, like, sign them up.
Sign them up. And Kiki, she touched on this a little in part three when she was really – when they talked about her package and they talked about the swim week and nobody going to her party afterwards and how she felt. And she was like, I just don't get to throw parties. Like, I don't throw parties for my daughter. I'm a single mom.
Yeah,
like
that was really
all the, it was, first of all, it was so hard to hear and so hard to watch, especially when you have people like, I know Lisa's getting a divorce, but like her lavish life. And then you have Kiki who can't even like throw birthday parties for her daughter because.
How old is Kiki's daughter?
She said like she's turning 5, I think, in November.
Kiki like is so gorgeous. I kind of forgot she was a mom. Like, holy shit.
She's an 18-year-old too.
Fucking given birth.
It's crazy. Wow. And it's crazy that we don't get to see any
I
of
know.
That.
I think that this season really made Kiki more of like a full person. Mm-hmm. And I think now the fans are like, come on, like give us more Kiki. Give me more Kiki. Like, give them Lala. Give them Kiki.
Give them Kiki. Because she's so funny in her confessionals and she's always been like a breath of fresh air. But I just want to know what's going on behind closed doors.
And she clocks in. Like she fucking clocks in mm-hmm. the way she went after Lisa on the gondola. I mean, I think that right there earned her a mojito.
It did.
I mean, she threw one or whatever she threw, a juice box.
Yeah,
so this part one also had just like the Nicole Anna Ginkosis of it all.
Yeah.
And I can't talk about that anymore. I'm just so over it. Alexia and Marisol just looking for something, I think.
Yeah, they just, they want to blame Nicole. They don't like Nicole.
They don't like Nicole. She's sitting there. She's pregnant.
And looking.
She lost her father.
So good.
And y'all still just cannot let off his bitch.
Oh my gosh, her, the losing her father package, that was in part two. That was, mm-hmm. even though I knew they didn't have that good of a relationship, it was still kind of hard to watch. And she yeah. even mentioned, like, thank God for the show, because it was the only reason that she thought the need to heal the relationship. Because obviously, people probably say, oh, what are you going to do this season? What's your storyline going to be this season? Mm-hmm. And so she's thinking, oh, maybe it'll be me reconnecting with her, my dad. And she probably only did it because she was on the show and it gave her another like 2 or 3 years with him.
Yeah, that's honestly really beautiful that that's kind of what caused that. So that all, you know, yes, that was part two, but still a big part of Nicole's reunion storyline, I guess.
Yeah.
Part one ended, though, with a huge bang because Alexia was like, Larsa warned me, if I don't have her back on the show, she's going to go to the press about drug use at my wedding. And that set Larsa off, obviously.
Yeah.
Oh my God. This carried into the backstage.
Yes. This was crazy. And listeners, obviously we've talked about this before, but Mo got to style Alexia for this reunion.
Yeah.
And so when all this was happening, he was live texting our group, like firing off on all cylinders. It was crazy.
Yeah, it was just really like.
But he was like, the way he was texting was just like, guys, something crazy is happening. This is going to be crazy. Guys, something crazy. And like, he wouldn't give us any tea. And it was so annoying because he was just firing off and we're like, what the hell's going on that's that crazy? And yeah. it lived up to the hype.
Yeah, I thought it was so funny the way that like, they walked away and then Alexi's like, no, no, no. And like, goes back and,
yes.
and grabs her.
Well, and then
and
she
Lisa's
goes,
like at the doorway, like,
well, when she's
listening.
In her room with her, she's like, she starts off with like, oh, this looks so pretty like this. You shouldn't wear the thing over. And it started off like just a normal conversation. And then all of a sudden it was like heated.
She was, oh my God. This is what I love about Miami. This is absolutely what I love about Miami. So that kind of carries into part two. They're like fighting at the beginning of that. And it doesn't really ever slow down. Like, no. I guess part two, we get into Lisa's divorce.
In Lisa's divorce, she said it's even worse than it was before. But Andy pointed out, so you're living in a condo that Jody is half paying for and Lenny yeah. is paying the other half for, which is just kind of crazy. But she made it seem like it was normal. She was like, well, Jody wants me to live a nice life. And so he was going to help pay for that.
I mean, yeah,
I think something's off with Jody.
It's... I think with Lisa in general, like, do you notice, similar to Dorit, that when I kind of said this the other night, I was like, Lisa Hochstein is kind of the Dorit of Miami.
You better watch those D words.
And whenever she starts talking, Andy, like, checks out. Like, I think she's such an airhead that he's like, oh my God, I can't hear this anymore.
Yeah.
Because I think Lisa, I love her down, but she is so in her own little world. She.
Well. Hello, the talk with her and Gertie. So she's, you know, fighting this entire battle with her husband, ex-husband, and she's talking about how hard that is, and then it kind of goes back onto Gertie about something. And I don't know how it formulated, but all of a sudden Gertie's like, I'm fighting for my life. And Lee's like, I'm fighting for my kids. And it's like, we can't compare cancer and what you're going through, Lisa. Like, it's not even in the same realm.
And Lisa, you're like fine. You're like living in a really nice place.
You're living in a nice ass condo that your boyfriend and your husband is paying for. Your ex-husband's paying for.
Like, make it make sense.
Like, you didn't think you were going to die this year. Let's talk about that.
She, yeah. So I think that Andy definitely over her ass. Her and Julia had a little heartfelt moment.
I thought that was so sweet.
They were like, I kind of am confused at where this all started. It was about, yeah. like, a kid. It was about her kid. Because Julia lost her son.
Yes. But Lisa said something to Julia.
Yeah, it was something once again about.
Oh, it was. So, Julia, it happened in the moment when they were fighting at Mother's Day brunch. And Julia kind of hinted that Lisa's a bad mom. She was like, oh, where were your kids during this?
She said she had three baby daddies.
And she said, well, you have three baby daddies. And that really hit Julia deep. And as soon as she
it's
saw
like sperm
the
donation, right?
No, I think she had three baby daddies.
But okay, well, either way.
I think all of her kids have different dads.
That's okay.
Yeah, no, it's fine. Nothing wrong with it.
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it.
No, and I think she was calling her out for that. And Julia immediately posted on her Instagram story to kind of call Lisa out without like tagging Lisa, but basically shading her. So that's what Lisa brought up in the reunion. And Lisa was like, you could have just called me. Like, I did not mean it like that. It was a heated moment. Why didn't you just call me? And she was like, the first thing I wanted to do was just post about it. And Andy goes, well, obviously nothing was meant to be hurtful. Like, can you just apologize? And Julia said, no, she wasn't going to apologize. But then backstage is when she apologized. And I think what she said, what hit her was her son that passed away. When her daughter was going away to college, her daughter's dad was sending pictures to be like, look at these old pictures of her. Like, can't believe she's off to college, and accidentally sent a picture of the son in it. So It like kind of triggered her. And then that episode aired. So it was like a pile on that really affected her. So that's what she just explained to Lisa.
Yeah. And that was like a really cute moment between them.
And it made me really like Julia, because she actually explains why she was upset, which a lot of housewives don't do. I feel like a lot of housewives just like, you can't do that. You can't say that.
I think Julia is actually very, very intelligent. And that little opera stunt at the very end was sending me.
It was so funny. I love this song.
Not saying that.
No,
mic
girl, she was lip syncing.
That mic was not on.
No,
that was not what we heard in the package before. But Julia, similar to Kiki, I feel like Julia is coming into her own on this show as one of those newbies. Mm-hmm. And there was this really interesting part in part three where Andy is kind of pressing Julia on, like, okay, so I see you're friends with Alexia now. Is that affecting your relationship with Adriana?
Yeah.
And then it's interesting because it feels like okay, so Julia and Adriana are on one side, and then Alexia and Marisol are on the other. It's like there's a full-time cast member, and then there's a little friend of henchman. Because Adriana and Marisol fucking hate each other.
Hate.
And it's interesting because when Julia and Alexia get away from their henchmen, they actually have a friendship.
Yes.
But then Julia fucking hates Marisol.
Hates.
And then Alexia fucking hates Adriana. They hate each other's henchmen.
Yeah.
So it makes it really hard for them to like get along when there's a group setting.
But like, let's call a spade a spade. She was sitting next to Alexia. Julia and Alexia were next to each other on the couch. Adriana was in the other couch.
Well, I think Adriana and Larsa both had such large, you know, Ave Maria, like, couture that they had to
sit on the edge.
They had to be like out, like they were fanned out, you know. And then like Nicole was between them, pregnant. I also felt like Adriana and Larsa had somewhat similar outfits on.
Yeah,
and it's funny because you know what's crazy is how many individual beefs there are in this cast group, because like,
and that's why it's so good.
Yes, because you got like Larsa fighting Alexia,
mm-hmm.
Alexia fighting Adriana. Adriana fighting Larsa. Larsa fighting Gertie.
Yeah.
Kiki fighting Lisa. You've got Julia fighting Marisol.
Nicole fighting Alexia and Marisol.
Nicole fighting Alexia and Marisol because of what Adriana did behind the scenes.
No.
Their web connects them all, okay? That's
kind of why like these reunions are like kind of meshing for me, like recapping them all, because when one, like you mentioned, when one person is talking about like their package that they just, another person has to get in it and fight them. Like it just kept going all over the place.
The end of the reunion, when they bring out the shots to do the farewell, I paused Peacock to go to the bathroom and it still had like 10 minutes left. And usually the farewell is like the last 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is there still 10 minutes? They're saying goodbye. And then in the middle of the fucking farewell, what, there was like two different fights that happened. Someone, I think Alexia, like, wished everyone to be honest or transparent, and Marcia's like, but you're not, though. And then they started, like, fighting all over again as they're, like, holding shots.
Yeah.
And then Larsa, what did she say to Julia? Julia's like, I still do not believe Larsa's butt is real. And then Larsa, why would you say that? Because now Larsa, you started her all the way back up. Like, we were almost to credits.
And that's literally how Larsa reacts. Like,
she's starting.
Like, Julia makes, like, a little funny comment. Like, I don't think her butt's real. And Larsa's like, you like black men.
You like black penises.
Black men penises.
I was like, what are you saying? Like, what are you saying right now?
Literally, the, like, 0 to 100. And then Andy was like, well, can't she like both? Like,
Andy, you are so unserious. Get your coked ass out of there. Because why would you say that too? Like, the whole conversation was not also so funny that Marisol is sitting there talking about, whose hair was she dissing? She was saying like,
oh, Adriana's.
Your hair is so messed up.
Your hair is greasy. It's so not classe.
And then you look at Marisol and she clearly looks six sheets to the wind. Is that what they say?
Yeah.
Six sheets to the wind. Her hair is gone with the wind. It looks like a bee's nest, like a bird's nest. Like, it's like, it's all frizzled. I'm like, girl, slow down on the screwdrivers, okay?
No, she's hammered.
OJ and less Kettle One, okay? Yeah. You have had way too much. I know her heartburn. The one thing Leah McSweeney did right on Ultimate Girls Trip, when she's like, oh, Marisol's stomach is hurting. I wonder why.
Marisol, you're in a bad mood because your stomach hurts. That's don't take it out on me.
Leah, that's not fair.
It's not my fault that you're drinking vodka every morning.
He fucking drunk. It's like,
no, literally.
Marisol, maybe,
like, eat a vegetable.
Perhaps
a salad.
Perhaps a water. Like, water.
No, like, it's just like, and it's so funny because everyone else is pretty, like, cohesive and, like, coherent is what, not cohesive, coherent, yeah, is coherent. The word. And, like, she's literally hammered.
This whole cast, I love. And then it's like over. And then Marisol sits down with Alexia. Oh, yeah, because we glossed over. Alexia's like, Marisol, Andy's asking, who do you think is honest here?
Yeah.
And she's like, she's honest. I don't trust her. Even though we just had our moment, I still don't trust you. Like, yeah. She just keeps going. And then she's like, Marisol, she doesn't remember. Marisol was fucking pissed. Wasted. She's like, what the fuck, dude? Okay.
Come on, bro.
I need her to stop saying things like, bro. And then what was the other Gen Z thing she kept saying?
I don't know.
Whenever, I think she was like, really? I don't remember. Okay, anyway.
Gen Z says really.
I don't know where I was going with that. Marisol kept saying like hip language. I was like, you're 50 something years old. Chill. Okay, so they're fighting, and then we saw Mo and Coulson again. They were like,
yes,
out. They were taking, because they were doing like photos
glamour
and
shots,
stuff of like of Alexia, and Marisol sitting there yelling in her ear, and then like a boom mic comes in. You're like, oh, get out of the way, get
here
out of the way.
Is.
They're starting back. I love how this was the end of the season, and it felt like a cliffhanger for next episode.
Yeah, that's the good thing. Like, about Miami, also is, I feel like they get along so well, but they also still fight so well. So I'm never worried that they're not going to, like, I know all of them would film together. It's not going to be a situation where they hold grudges and they're like, I'm not filming with that cast member, or vice versa. They're like, yeah, well, let's all film together and we're all still going to fight.
No, this cast, like, you can see it in this final part of the reunion. They are fighting like cats and dogs. But then when Kiki shares, like, her emotional stuff, they all rally around her. Lisa's like, okay, in October, we're doing a birthday party.
Yes.
And they all are like, she's like, everyone will be there. And they're all like, yeah, yeah. And, like, you can see that this is a sisterhood. Like, these women actually do come together. They love each other. I mean, it's really giving Roni.
It is. It is because they are a cast that fights and makes up and fights and makes up. And every single woman is bringing it to their level. I just love them. I love Miami. I wish everybody was watching Miami. I wish it didn't get the shitty ass treatment.
I wish that it was getting what Beverly Hills is getting. Please. In terms of ratings. And I think that's a good segue into our recap of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills Reunion Part 1 and 2.
Says she wants me to eviscerate you today.
Kyle sends me a text yesterday, basically trying to silence me.
Who do you think has the most to answer for today?
Lord knows Anna Marie's list of apologies is going to be like a scroll.
It's going to be a long night.
Are you holding a crystal?
I am.
I'm holding a Xanax.
No crystal will fix my problem.
Coming up from the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills reunion.
What exactly do you think, other than my boobs, is fake on me? Don't you dare. Don't you dare.
I'm sorry. Kyle's dancing around the reason for her split. What's the real reason, and why won't she just spit it out?
We all share what's going on in our lives.
Oh, no, that's not true.
What?
What? Yeah, you came into this season just to come after me.
You have been relentlessly mean to me.
Where?
As Denise would say, watch the show.
You say I attacked you when you know what an attack is.
You do know I had a gun to my head. But what is crazy is to actually go on national television and to peddle a false narrative.
I don't want to be part of your system of lies.
Are you ever going to apologize to me for saying that I said she had an eating disorder?
What do you think of what Crystal just said?
I don't know what Crystal's saying. If she's saying he's faking it, then just say that.
So let's talk about the text. Let's talk about what Kyle doesn't want out.
Yeah, that was kind of crazy. At first, I'm like, oh, this solidified Dorit's spot for next season. But as the reunion continued, I'm like, maybe it didn't.
I think Dorit's cooked. Yeah. I think she's cooked.
I'm sad.
Well, I still love Dorit, but I think that she is not only not really delivering very much, but then she's on the outs with Kyle.
And everyone was after her.
Everyone's after her, and she just continues to say ignorant things and, you know, she's one step forward, two steps back. She seems to water under the bridge with Garcelle. They seem to come to an understanding, and then she calls Crystal a child bride. It's like, can you just zip it for one moment.
Do we think like Dorit is actually, I don't know the word for it. Like, is she ignorant or is she like actually problematic?
I mean,
kind of both.
I think she's ignorant and therefore problematic. I think she's in her own bubble. Like they've all said, I think she just doesn't seem to fucking get it.
Wait, before we go on to too much, can we talk about her outfit and all the backlash it's getting? And I'm eating it up.
Honestly, I just saw Dune 2 and you could have stuck her in that film and she would have fit right in.
I think it's just giving fashion.
She's
and like,
the Bene Gesserit. If anyone that listens to It's About Bravo also
has watched Dune
and knows what I'm talking about.
My problem is like all the Bravo mom accounts, a lot of these Bravo accounts are run by moms. And I've seen what you guys wear to BravoCon. It's a t-shirt and jeans. And you're going to come for Dorit? Sit down.
Oh my God. You're throwing shots.
I'm throwing shots. Don't come for Dorit's fashion. She might not be a good person, but she knows how to dress.
Okay. I don't think it's bad. I think it's chic.
It is. It's so chic.
But it definitely could be in Dune too. okay, so anyways,
I had to get that out, sorry.
So clearly Kyle and Dorit aren't friends. This is the thing. I was watching part two reunion before watching part three of Miami, and I looked to my friend and I said, there's such a stark difference between these reunions in the sense that on the Miami reunion, like we were just talking about, they fight and then they make up and you're like, wait, they actually do like each other. Outside of filming, these ladies do hang out. They do talk. You go to, meanwhile, in Beverly Hills, a little different over here.
Yeah.
These ladies are not friends. They're not friends. They don't hang out. I think Sutton Garcelle and Crystal are genuinely friends. I think Dorit and Kyle were. I think Erica and Kyle are.
Yeah. The crazy thing about Dorit and Kyle is, like, Kyle, you really just broke the fourth wall there, saying you guys only hang out when the cameras are up, which is not what we as the viewers want to hear, because we want to think these are authentic friendships. And Dorit and her have been around for a while. And she mentioned something in part two that really irritated me when she was talking about her and Mo being on the outs, and she said, well, you brought it up on the show. Like, she was that's what she was mad at Dorit about. And then she's like, I thought we were close enough for you to just reach out and not bring it up on the show. And I'm like, Kyle, you're saying this now, but last episode you said you guys aren't close at all. Like,
Kyle,
where?
Okay, let's get into the Kyle of it all. Sutton is coming really hard for her about not sharing her life. And Kyle, I did think Kyle had a fair clap back. You know, I've showed everything, and you got a fucking horse.
And a dating
season.
Coach.
And the thing is, I'm a huge Sutton stan, and I do think Kyle's being kind of a mean girl.
I love Kyle.
I know. I've always loved Kyle, but I think that Kyle is kind of the mean girl here, and I think that she's treating Sutton the way she treated Kim. It's like she treats them like her, like, sickly little sister who has an issue. Like, oh, you have a drinking problem? Like, I don't know if you have a drinking problem. I thought Sutton was snapping back, especially at Dorit when she's like, well, the streets must have told you that then. Like, really?
I don't know if I have the drinking problem. Miss Carcass out.
Miss Carcass out. I don't know how many carcasses are on the floor.
That was funny.
But
let's be real. Sutton has a drinking problem.
I think that who among us? Okay. Who among us? but I do think, as much as I am ultimately on Team Sutton in this situation, I thought Kyle raised some fair points. Like, Sutton, your storyline is really, like, very surface level. We don't see your kids. I know it's part of the divorce agreement that they don't go on the show, but it's like, don't come for Kyle when Kyle is literally, like, pretty much Bravo's Kardashians.
Yeah.
We've seen everything.
And I truly believe, I mean, hello, Kyle and Mo, their separation, or their, like, the thought of separation started after filming stopped. So when they're like, you're not showing us anything, and it's like, because she wasn't sure yet, probably. Because it's all inner workings, like, am I going to end this marriage? Am I going to ask for a divorce? Like, it's the process of it, and you're not always going to see that process. That's what, like, irritates me. And we're already in the upcoming season of Buying Beverly Hills on Netflix. We're already seeing little clips that are hinting at way more than we got on Beverly Hills.
Which Bravo fans are justifiably pissed about, because it's like, wow, this is all going to play out on Netflix.
Which and I is get pissed, it. But it's because that's when it happened.
I know, but I do think that there are fair points on the other side. Like, Kyle does like talking about these kind of things when it comes to other people. She's a little bit of a hypocrite with that. Like, she's so quick to throw out, like, Sutton has a drinking problem or an eating disorder, but then how dare you ask her about her marriage? She did this with Kim, too. I mean, she, like, pretty much outed Kim as an alcoholic in the back of the limo.
Well, yes.
Kyle has a history. Well, yes.
Well, yes.
Kyle has a history of, with Erica. Or how about this? Mikey pointed this out. When Sutton alleged that Erica was drinking too much, and she was like, I don't think any of us should say things like that.
That's
like,
true.
None of us should say that about each other. And then fast forward one season, saying to everybody that Sutton has a drinking and an eating disorder. That's, like, so fucked up.
She didn't verbally say she had an eating disorder. She said she pushes food around on her plate, which she does.
But to
look looked at Sutton's ankles?
But to Sutton's point, it's the insinuation.
Yeah.
You know what you're doing. And honestly, Lisa Rinna, Kyle's best fucking friend, Lisa Rinna said the same thing when people were saying how skinny she was. She was like, it's the insinuation of what you're essentially saying without saying it.
Yeah.
You're saying that I throw up my food. You're telling that on national television. Now I've got people on my Twitter mentions. Like, it does carry, you know, Dorit was on point with one thing. Words have weight. And everyone, I remember when she said that, and all of them were like, oh. Garcelle's like, oh, Dorit. And it's like, yeah, they do have weight, and yours are very heavy. Yeah, yours broke the scale, Dorit. Like, you need to, you're over the limit.
I just, I'm always going to be Team Kyle, even when she's in the wrong. So I just have a, I just don't love Sutton as much as everybody else. I'm sorry. I love her as a friend of. As a first chair at the reunion, boring,
I love
yawning.
Her. I love her because she is quirky, and I honestly do think she get more credit than she does for the pots she stirs. Like, she was leading the charge on the Erica Gay. Like, Sutton has been, whether y'all like it or not, Sutton has been main character for a while now. And
that's why the season sucked.
I do think that Sutton shines as like a pot stirrer, but when somebody like, okay, so like Erica Jane was center stage. Sutton was the one questioning and pissing her off and causing all the confrontation, but it was about Erica. I think that's what needs, and I guess Sutton's trying that with Kyle right now. But we need like, there needs like, we don't have a Rinna, we don't have a Brandy.
Yeah.
We need like someone with
a
more.
A chaos agent.
I don't think that Sutton has centered diamond energy.
No, and that's what she was this season, and that's why I think it fell flat. I do have to mention there were so many clip packages of Denise at this reunion.
Then why don't you just bring her out?
It's crazy that she was probably my favorite part of this entire season. The weed dinner was my favorite episode of the season. And it was dealing with a girl that's not even on the cast. Like, wake up, Bravo.
We also completely glossed over, like, in part one, Crystal handed Anne-Marie's ass to her.
Let's talk about it.
Let's talk about, first of all, on this podcast, we have said, I don't fucking know if her name is Anne-Marie or Anna-Marie. It turns out it's both, because it's spelled Anne-Marie, but it's pronounced Anna-Marie. Another fucking reason to be a goddamn annoyed by Anne-Marie.
Dumb.
Wiley. It's Dutch, okay? You're annoying.
No. The fact that the only thing she really talked about at part one was when Crystal kind of went after her.
I'm not going to yell.
And then she was silent all of part two.
Good. Stay that way and walk yourself off set. Like, she needs the Marlo treatment. Never give her that diamond.
No, keep her at bay. Except she had the diamond this time. At the end of this part, though, we kind of had a hinting at Crystal saying that Tom might be faking dementia because they were talking.
She's on the Alzheimer's Association.
Yeah, she's a doctor apparently now.
I know, right? I was like, ooh, Crystal.
That's not, you're going to yell at Anne-Marie.
But didn't you?
No, that's exactly it. Because Erica said Tom is going to be on trial soon and you shouldn't be able to be on trial if you have dementia. So she was just like, is Tom faking it or is Erica lying? I'm like, oh my God. This is one thing. And I'm probably going to piss listeners off by saying it. Crystal and Garcelle are very loud in confessionals, very loud whispering to each other. And then they just stay quiet when there's like big arguments. Like, let's bring some of that energy. Like, Garcelle hinted that Dorit was not robbed.
Yeah, I think Garcelle does need to own it, to quote
own it.
Lisa Rinna. She needs to own it more. Like, you
and everybody,
Garcelle's like, shady as hell.
Shady as hell. And I love her in her confessionals. And I think that is the fun Garcelle. And I wish we would see it on actual, within the actual cast, because then we'd all be rooting for her. Hello, housewife fans love a shady queen. Yeah. But when you're only shady in confessionals and can't back it up in front of the person, it comes off weak. And you're not weak, Garcelle.
Yeah.
You can go up against Dorit, please.
Garcelle, Sutton, Crystal, they're sort of like
they're confessional assassins.
They're confessional assassins, and they're, I think they all three have, what they have in common is they are like the outsiders.
Yeah.
The Fox Force 5 never fully accepted them. Sutton gets picked on a lot. Garcelle feels, picked on a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Crystal has never really felt fully
like in the group. Yeah.
And I think the three of them have sort of created this, like, I don't want to say the not cool girls, but it's like they're not the plastics.
Yeah.
Like, they're at the other lunch table. Mm-hmm. And I feel like they look at the plastics and they're like, these girls think they're so. And like, this is what I'm talking about. These girls are not friends. That's part of what the problem is. We need friends. We need Miami level energy in this bitch. And Garcelle, Sutton, and Crystal, not a dominant between the three of them.
No, not
an alpha.
Submissive.
They're all like, they like to be the assassin in the confessional. I will say, I don't know if we're being fully fair, because I'm thinking of her marriage.
Yes.
Okay, Garcelle does.
When she comes to play, we loved it.
Garcelle
loved
does
that.
Know how to be like, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
You know, but it's usually, and it, you know, okay, the dominant is Garcelle, because she like, Sutton's getting beat up on the playground and Garcelle comes in and is like, hey, leave my friend alone. And yeah. She can do something about it.
Yeah. She is the dominant out of them. I just wish she was more vocal, I guess, around everybody else. I think she is afraid of going against the mainstays, because I think she looks at it as she's joining this show and doesn't want to be like kicked out, because that'll get you off the show.
I think Garcelle wants to be on the show forever if they let her.
Yeah.
And I think it'll be eventually a thing where it's like either deliver or, you know, eventually like, you've got to have something. You like, everyone's had their turn in the spotlight. Like when Sutton tried it. I don't know. I love those girls. I'm more on their side than I am the plastic side. But actually, okay, real quick, who is everybody like in the high school trope? So I feel like
Erica's obviously the head cheerleader.
Erica's head cheerleader. Kyle is homecoming queen.
Yeah.
And like the girl next door.
Yeah, she probably played like tennis.
Yeah, like her sister Kim is like a different grade than everybody else. Like,
so everyone knew her.
But like she, yeah, like Kyle's like that fan, like, yeah, it's like the family legacy of the school. Dorit is, she's definitely like that Gretchen Wieners role.
She's kind of like the foreign exchange student.
Wait, I have to totally like back up in Miami reunion when Adriana's like, Regina and Gretchen. She just kept saying it.
It's so funny.
Yeah, so I definitely think that Dorit is like the Gretchen. Like she's like the sidekick. She's on the cheerleading squad.
Yeah. She's with everybody, but not.
She's on student council and helped make sure Kyle got on homecoming court. Like she helped her Kyle secure the crown, right? Like she's the one behind the scenes. And then like if Rena was still there, she's part of that girl clique. But then I think
Sutton is like a mathlete.
Okay, Sutton. Okay, yeah. So Sutton is, she moved here from Tennessee.
Yeah,
and she got a southern accent, and she getting bullied for it, like I did in my middle school in Muscatine, Iowa, from moving from Tennessee. Sutton's getting bullied, and Garcelle is, she does the morning announcements. She is
she's a captain of some team. Like she's like still very
like volleyball or something. Like she's respected.
Yeah,
like she's not made. No one bullies Garcelle.
No.
Garcelle is a player.
And she's a player in her own, like she's the head of her group.
Yeah, like she's not sitting with the plastics, but she's got an equally impressive like lunch table. I think Garcelle is probably like in the plays and in the musicals. Like,
oh, for sure.
She's like that
girl.
She's
the lead role.
She's the lead. She's the lead. And so like she obviously like, it's like equal to like the head cheerleader or the homecoming queen. Like it's also an important role. And then Crystal is like class president, student council, body, honors, student.
She's in like all the AP classes.
All the APs. She plays like, she's like in the string quartet.
I was like going to say, maybe she's in band, maybe, or maybe she does like chess.
She's just like no one fucks with her.
Yeah, because she's so elite.
She's elite and she's fucking gorgeous. And she's not like a nerd. It's not like that. No one fucks with her.
She's better than everybody.
Yeah, like she's not really going to the parties, but like she got the invite. Like,
yeah, she got a Princeton letter. Her sophomore year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like her and Garcelle, like they see Sutton on the playground and they're like, here, you can come with us. Like, listen, Sutton's got like, she's got like the braces on her legs. Like she's, I'm just like imagining like just like a complete mess. No, I think Sutton is definitely like the Katie Heron in the situation.
Oh my God,
like,
yes.
Like the underdog essentially. And she does get invited to the Mean Girls table, but they're kind of like, they're doing it to like they need like, they're looking for like,
charity.
Yeah, they're looking for their charity case. And Garcelle and Crystal are like, don't do that. And then Anne Marie.
Oh, she's the...
Oh, my God. Anne Marie.
She's kind of like a linebacker.
I was going to say, she's like probably like...
She's like a linebacker.
I think she's like volleyball, basketball, swimmer. She's like an athlete for sure. Definitely an athlete.
Yeah, look at her shoulders. She's a swimmer.
Yeah, and like she's like... She's an athlete, so she's like friends with these girls, but not really. At the same time, she got the athlete friends. So We're just gonna not. We don't pay attention to her.
No,
she's
we
not.
Don't.
She's not nervous. Okay. That. Thank you for entertaining. That was so fun.
Before we end this recap, I just have to talk about Kathy coming in. Obviously, we won't get to see her join the ladies until part three. But she was kind of shading Kyle in just her makeup chair.
I know. She